Hello. Before you begin this episode, a quick note. The sound on my side is not the best because we are experiencing some technical difficulties due to weather. This is also the first series in our dispensary series where we go behind the scenes and do a deeper dive into the retail experience. So if you work at a dispensary or you know one that you want to have featured on this show, please do not hesitate to reach out. You can email yourhighnesspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for your patience, and we appreciate you. I'm your host, Diana Crash, and today I am joined by Kima Ogden once again. How are you doing today, Kima?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Awesome, thank you for coming back on the show. So, as you know, we start every episode with our recurring segment, Fave Pot, Fave Not Pot, and I'm going to start with my fave pot. It is the brand Treatables, which is a pet brand, and they carry a lot of different products, but their cat line with their salmon chewables are amazing, and also like their dog treats, and I'm just a big fan of the brand all around, and yeah, that's pretty much it. You can find them at treatables.com, and we'll have the link in the show notes for that. Kima, what's your fave pot right now?
In product for cannabis-based product?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah, I mean, right now, I'd like to take different edibles, you know, to sleep at night. So right now I'm taking Wild brand gummies. That's like one of my go-tos for sleep at night. So that's that works for me. I suggest to anyone who is like me and their mind runs a million miles a minute at night to try those.
Nice. I keep hearing about that brand. So my fave not pot is actually just something that's like a bigger picture item. it's not a TV show for once. It's actually outdoor festivals because the weather is changing here, and even though it's not always nice outside, it's starting to have that beautiful spring feel. And so I love being able to take my son to a place where they have kid-friendly activities and live music and local artists. And so that's been a lot of fun lately, being able to do that. What's your fave not pot?
You know, right now I'm binging on a certain like Netflix, and oddly enough, people are gonna kill me for this, but I never seen Walking Dead. I know it's like 11 seasons.
I haven't either.
You know, it's I know, but don't say it out loud apparently, because when you do, everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, I've never seen that." So I'm actually watching that, and I'm like in the 10th season. I've been, there's only 11, so I'm almost done, but that's a great show. And, you know, I've been binge watching that for a little while. So that's kind of my favorite thing to do. I can't wait to get home to watch some of those episodes.
Yeah, I feel like I will watch it someday, but I don't know. I don't know. So switching gears, we are doing a dispenser series on the show, and I am actually surprised it's taken me this long. 6 years in to pull back the curtain, so to speak, on the dispensary experience. I mean, we've touched on it a little bit here and there, but we haven't actually had someone speak to the whole entire experience. So, Kima, can you talk about, first of all, what type of experience customers can expect from the moment they enter your dispensary, and also a little bit about your dispensary?
So we have always had a model that was unique in Vegas. A lot of people don't do this, the same type of format that we do. Most people don't. When you go into most dispensaries, you kind of just walk in, you know, you're window shopping, you're looking around, you know, you might, and then you kind of point out something you want. And then they come and get it and ring it up. We actually assign a bud tender to every customer. So every person that comes in the door gets their own personal educator, basically. They go, they walk around, they explain the products, they answer questions. They're very educated in the products because we do a lot of pop-ups with the companies, and they educate us on their products and how they help and different things like that. So we pass that information along to the customers one-on-one. So we take them around, we explain different different types of consuming. If they ask whatever questions they have, they ask, and we walk them through it all. So, because we feel, you know, education of products is what's going to keep people coming back. You know, just going around pointing at something, saying, "Hey, I think I'll try this," and then they don't understand why they don't like it, why it doesn't work for them. So that's the type of experience that they can expect from our dispensary, one-on-one. More education-based, more knowledgeable people that are used to this format, open to any questions. We don't rush them through, even though we see a high volume of people every day. So it's a personal thing.
And so, speaking to the products a little bit, what type of products do you carry in your dispensary?
I mean, we carry every product, every type of cannabis type product, you know, from oils, tinctures, edibles, flower, dab, you name it. We have it all. The one thing about our dispensary is we have a large variety of products, but we don't over, it sounds like when you say that, like people would be overwhelmed with the different types of products that we have. But what we're really good at is being connected to our consumer base. You know, as I maybe talked about in previous podcasts on your show, you know, we, as owners, it's our original three. We've been in this for, you know, since the beginning. We worked our own store. We tapped into our customer base and the community. So we know what people like. So we know what works for them, what helps them. We're really connected. So we do a variety. We have a large variety of different products, but it's very unique because we know what they want. So we order what people really like and want and what goes. So we're really good at that. And we have a lot of options for people.
So where your dispensary is located, what is the general attitude toward cannabis? Like, do you get a feel from the community about normalization? I mean, do you have any kind of read on that?
You know, we've been almost 10 years now we've been in the industry. And, you know, when we first opened, you know, as one of the first dispensaries in Las Vegas, our neighbors gave us a little bit of a hard time. The companies more so than the people. We never really had a lot of people push back against us coming into the community. It was more the businesses next door, you know, because they were afraid of what type of people, you know, the stereotypes, what type of people will be drawn to, you know, their area. What type of people will be, what'll happen to the traffic and what'll happen to, you know, will crime go up, you know, those stereotypes. So we had that from neighbors in the area, but once things got going, and actually we ended up helping crime in the area because, you know, we might have a company two doors down and they got robbed from, you know, something random, and the police will come ask us for our video footage. So they can kind of, you know, see what happened in the whole area, and they've been able to solve, you know, crime that way. And we have armed security, so it actually keeps people from coming around there. So it was just the opposite. And that's kind of what we've experienced in the community. But outside of that, no, we've been very, you know, welcomed in our area, because where we're located is off of a freeway. We're not on the strip. We, you know, we don't cater to tourists. We cater more to the local community, and but we're kind of in a off the beaten path a little bit. It looks almost industrial when you go down our street, but it's a busy area. So yeah, so it's private too. So people, you know, because it's a little, like when you turn off, it's a little bit off the beaten path, but not enough to deter anyone. We, you know, so it's just, it gives a little bit of privacy in that sense to a regular consumer.
So you mentioned tourists. Do you get a lot of that? I mean, obviously, I'm sure you do, but what is that type of experience like when you have a dispensary?
Well, we don't, as I mentioned, we don't cater to tourists. We don't market to tourists. We're off the strip, so we don't, but we will get, word of mouth is our largest, you know, marketing campaign. Like, we function mostly off word of mouth. So sometimes people come in town, they might ask a local where to go. And that's when they'll find out about us. So we do occasionally get people from the strip and tourists, but that's not, it's mostly locals is who we cater to.
Okay. So, can you talk about Holistically Positive?
Yeah, sure. That's one of my babies. I started this program probably about 6-7 years ago. And I have a nonprofit organization that helps the underserved or underinsured population with health, wellness, education programs. And we've been doing that since 2007, 2008. And, you know, I started working with a nonprofit clinic. I took over that clinic back in 2016, and we started the Holistically Positive program, which helps seniors and veterans and, you know, people who have financial barriers that may not be able to afford a medical card. And they have elements that, you know, really, they really need this medicine. So what we did is we put a program together to help those people get their medical marijuana card. We give them at the clinic, we do their medical exam. We file all their paperwork for their medical card. We give them an education piece where they learn about product education and then, you know, as well as cannabis 101, like what does it do? How does it help? Things like that. So education piece is really important to us. And then just getting them through the process of getting their card and then allowing them to take a tour of a dispensary and get that, see the product, talk to a bud tender that may be educated enough to really go through each type of product and ways to consume. So, and then, you know, and then giving them discounts on products. So it's a kind of a start to finish with them, and then keeping them in the system that way, where it allows them to go continuously get discounts, you know, skip lines, things like that. So staying focused on the medical side of this for the underserved population or, you know, underrepresented population.
I love that. Every time I read about that program, I just get so happy. It warms my heart. That is just exactly what we need in this industry. So switching gears a bit, how do you think Las Vegas is uniquely positioned for consumption lounges?
Oh, we're the, you know, this is the place because, you know, the casinos, they don't want you to consume on property. They are the biggest. Some of the owners of the casinos were the biggest lobbyists against cannabis legalization. So they really tried to enforce people not smoking on their property. They didn't even want it in the town for the most part. They don't want anything to take away from their profit, from people coming in, drinking, gambling, things like that. But these lounges allow people a place, a safe place to consume without fear of, retaliation in a sense of these corporations where, you know, obviously they could smoke cigarettes in there and different things like that, drink all day, but you can't consume cannabis, which is legal in the state. So this allows people to go leisurely in whatever way they want to consume and go do it in a safe place that they're not going to be harassed. They can enjoy themselves, have fun, depending on the format of the lounge. So I think Las Vegas is the perfect place for this. You know, we're based on tourism, entertainment, things like that, travel. So, you know, and when you can't do that, when you come here, where else are you going to go? You know, so I think it's important to have these lounges here in Nevada.
I think so as well. And I don't understand why casino owners are so against it. I mean, I'm sure it all comes down to the money, but it just seems strange. I feel like the consumption would be a bonus.
Right. No, it's the same, you know, the casinos, the tobacco companies, the liquor companies, you know, anybody who just, you know, all these industries that have greedy, you know, CEOs or owners and people, and let's say where it is all about the money. They really just trying to keep people from consuming and taking away from their bottom line. I mean, that's one reason why it got, you know, was got turned to illegal, you know, frowned upon plant to begin with. It was all about the money and not really what it, you know, what it's good for.
So Kima, before we end this episode, do you have anything that you'd like to promote or any particular calls to action?
Well, I would ask anyone who's interested in making sure that this plant stays regulated properly, legalized, because we're still fighting that process of federally legalization. And they are concerned about safety and of consumption. And, you know, please go support Doctors for Cannabis Regulations. You know, it's a group of doctors I'm on the board of, and the medical professionals, they, you know, really go around. We advocate for legalization, proper regulation, education, and things like that of the plant, you know, by supporting bills, testifying, doing different things to make sure that this happens throughout the country. So if people really believe in the plant, believe that it helps, want to see it legalized, want to see it safe, you know, and get the backing of clinical providers and people that are professional, you know, medical professionals, I would say go support Doctors for Cannabis Regulation. They're a nonprofit organization that relies on funding from outside, you know, sources and donations in order to keep fighting for the rights for people to use this plant and consume safely. They can also go to my website, kimaogden.org. kimaogden.com to follow, you know, me as I go and talk about this, some of the things that I'm involved in, the organizations that I'm a part of, if they want to learn more about different areas of that.
Awesome. I appreciate you joining me again today, and just thank you for doing what you're doing. I appreciate what your hard work and for joining me again. So thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. I always enjoy coming on here. You have such great guests, and it's just a pleasure to be back.
It's a pleasure to have you back. Anyway, we could do this all day. Thank you again, Kima, and thank you for listening. Until next time, stay high and beautiful. Bye.
Thank you.
This episode of Your Highness Podcast is brought to you by MitraGaya.com. MitraGaya.com is giving listeners a 10% off discount when they use the code YHPOD. That's YHPod at MitraGaia.com, a top-rated Kratom company. Also, you can keep up on the recent events and all the news surrounding our show by subscribing to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter. This episode was edited and produced by James Crash and myself, Diana Crash, and is a production of Your Highness Media. Intro music is brought to you by Your Mom Likes My Music. Thank you for listening.